Colossians chapter 3, verse 15, the latter part of that verse in three words is just so forthright. It says, be ye thankful. None of us get off the hook on that. All of us, be ye thankful. Be, this is one of those must keys to a blessed life. Thankful people are blessed people. So many people are blessed and they don't have a clue about where it came from or what keeps the blessing rolling. And I trust America. I've said it and I'll say it as long as I have breath and as long as it's printed. Thank God it still says, in God we trust. If I ever have a slow day, I just even pull a dollar bill out and it says, in God we trust. Ladies and gentlemen, that's what's kept this nation, the spirit of that is what's kept this nation going for 231 years now. And I think some folks have forgotten why people got on a boat and left England. I've heard people talk about maybe it'd be a good idea to get on the boat and go back to England. We're winding up as socialized and complicated as things are there. Go through jolly old England, pay $11 a gallon, you'll come back and be thank God for $2 a gallon. I think it's down now to $8. And England is in such bad shape, they've extended an invitation to those that don't like all of us at all to invest more money in their nation and have a greater say-so in the United Kingdom. That's scary, isn't it? Just for money's sake. I want to tell you, when Jesus is not your Lord, you get yourself in a world of hurt. It's God that kept those precious people on those ships that came from other lands to find the land of hope. The United States of America. You know, you don't have to be around here long. You don't have to sniff around here long to find it. This pastor and wife, we are fanatically patriotic. We're fanatically patriotic. And someone called it to my attention, I don't see a cross. Well, we need to get that old rugged cross out of. We want a cross visible around here because we believe in the cross. But I just thank God we are patriotic. And I thank God for this nation with all that is within me. I'm not the greatest world traveler, but I've traveled a bit. And I'm telling you, I come back more thankful every time I come back to this nation. Thank God. But the Word of God tells us this summary of for everyone who will receive it. This will even help a sinner. It won't save him, but it will help him. Be ye thankful. Have a good attitude. Have a positive attitude about life. And so be is one of those must keys to a blessed life. Ye, it is a personal daily decision. I can't make the decision for all of you, and you can't make my decisions for me. It's a personal daily decision. I will be thankful. I will be thankful. Be ye. And then, of course, thankful. One of the most awesome things that we can do every day. I can choose to be sad or I can choose to be glad. The choice is mine. The attitude is mine. I can choose to have a bad attitude or I can choose to have a good attitude. I can choose to be thankful or I can choose to be unthankful. And I just wrote it down like this, oh Lord, I am thankful. I'm not trying to share a prolific message today, but I think the choir set the pace and we'll just follow on through. What God's trying to tell all of us today, if you got a bad car, a good car, good house, bad house, no house, if you have good food, pork and beans, be ye thankful. Be thankful that things are as good as they are. And by faith, they're getting better every day. There's a lot of kids that love to have the mother and daddy you have. There's a lot of women love to have the husband you have. You say, really? Yeah. And it works both ways. Be ye thankful. And the more thankful you are, the better husbands become, the better wives become. Be thankful that things are as good as they are. It's such a simple, forthright admonition. Lord, help me to be more thankful. To be thankful gives all glory to God. All glory doesn't belong to the government. God never intended for the government to be the glory of our lives. Good government, good kingdom, bad king, bad kingdom. I heard that a long time ago from some source. But you see, give God all the glory. Be thankful. To be thankful gives God all glory. All glory to God. To be thankful pleases and rejoices the heart of God. There are things that make parents' hearts happy. There really are. There are things that you just silently observe, and a thank you or to be thankful is one of those things that really blesses the heart of a parent. You know, I look back and I know when Dad, of course, Dad passed away first and then Mom, and you know, and going over all the records, going back over all the things, I mean, Dad kept meticulous records, to see all the things they did, which seemed insignificant at the time, but then going back and knowing the timeline there and knowing what was happening and knowing employment-wise, and later on, Dad was blessed in his law practice, but those early trying days, I realized how much our parents sacrificed for us. Remember even on a vacation one time, we stayed an extra week in Colorado, and I look back, and that was not a good decision for Dad to make, but he made it because he wanted to bless his family and because three boys were crying. Wanted to stay in Colorado. Oh my. But I think of how blessed we are. To be thankful is to be like God. In fact, the Bible said, Paul writing to Timothy said, unthankful, unholy. Very simple, isn't it? You don't need a Greek or Hebrew scholar on that. To be unthankful is to be unholy. To be unholy is to not be like God. So when we are thankful, we are acting and thinking and reacting like God. To be thankful affects your mind, your body, and your emotions, your thought life, your blood pressure. To be thankful, I want to say it one more time, affects your mind. It affects your body. It affects your emotions. You know, everyone has some kind of a story to tell. Some of you here this morning, you've lost companions. You've lost employment. You've come through challenging times. And some of you this morning, there are question marks in your heart. Let me tell you something. If your faith is in God, some way, somehow, God Almighty is going to bring you out on the high side of victory. Some way, somehow, God is going to bring a fresh charge of happiness and restoration. God is a God of restoration. I spoke for the chapel of my alma mater down at Waxahachie at Southwestern Assemblies of God University. And boy, in preparing for that, it brought back a flood of memories. And as I told the students, I know what it is to walk this campus and not have a clue where you're going to go with the rest of your life. You're in Bible school, you're studying, you're in Bible college, but, you know, no open doors. And then to think You just keep showing up for work, and you just stay faithful, and you just do what God told you to do last. And then because no lead position turned up, I worked on a church staff for many years, best training I ever had in my life. And I just think of all the steps that God has brought all of us through since 1964. We're blessed to be alive. I walked on that campus where I met the most beautiful girl in the world. And all the young preachers said they were going to date her up. She's the new girl on campus. Well, while they were shucking and jiving, I went downstairs and did it. Got her dated up for the next three or four occasions. And I thought how good God is, and how far God has brought us. And I looked even at that university, all the new buildings that are there. Boy, the times were very different when we were there. In fact, we came back, had a little quartet preaching up in Oklahoma, and the dorm had burned in our absence. And we came back to find nothing but embers, and everything was much, but everything we owned, you know, burned up. And that's kind of a strange feeling. And those who have ever been through a fire, I certainly understand you. You know how that feels. But I think of all the times and all the seasons and all the reasons we should not be here today. And all the times that God kept us that I'm aware of, and all the times that God kept me when I didn't have a clue. When I didn't have a clue. God has been faithful. I shouldn't be alive. I shouldn't be preaching the gospel. I shouldn't be here today. I mean, in that sense of the word. But God in His faithfulness, and God in His mercy, and God in His provision has helped us. How many times in those early days this church should have gone under, taking such giant steps of faith. I look back and it scares me sometimes to, you know, when you're anointed, you're a little crazy. And I had people accuse me of being crazy, and they probably were right, but it was a good crazy. And God brought us through. And because God has, as long as we hold true to Him, He will bring us through. So to be thankful is to be like God. To be thankful affects your mind, your body, your emotions. To be thankful blesses everyone around you. Did you know that? To be thankful blesses those around you. I wouldn't admit it, but I've met some folks, I don't know how he lives with her, and I've met some folks, I don't know how she lives with him. Man, I mean, they wrote the book on gloomy. I thought, my God, to come home to this every day. Whew. Be thankful that things are as good as they are. To be unthankful pushes others further away. You know, even kids gravitate towards life and joy and excitement. The Bible tells us in Psalms 104 that we are to enter God's gates. I mean, that's the gates. We're not in the pews yet. We're not singing in the choir yet. We're not listening. Just enter His gates with thanksgiving. I mean, it would be perfectly in order to walk in one of these doors. Woohoo! Hallelujah! Praise God. Oh my, we're to enter God's gates with thanksgiving. Our prayers are to be made by supplication with thanksgiving. Did you know so many people, all their prayers are negative and solemn and, you know, just long and drawn out and big old unnecessary words? We're to mix thanksgiving with our prayers unto God. God loves to hear our prayers, but He loves to hear our thanksgiving. The Bible tells us that according to Psalms 116, 17, I will offer unto you the sacrifice of thanksgiving. Yes, sometimes to be thankful is a sacrifice. It shouldn't be, but it is. It's a decision we make. I will be thankful. Is it in all things or for all things? Just settle it. I will be thankful. 1 Timothy 2:1, intercession and giving of thanks go together. Go together. Really, I think we'd get a lot more mileage out of our prayers if we just spent more time in thanksgiving and less time in asking. I mean, sometimes we just come through the gate, give me. Help me, Lord. Ooh, I'm going under, Lord. Why don't we just begin with some praise and turn on some praise music? Psalms 92:1 said it's a good thing. It's a good thing to give praises unto the Lord. It's a good thing. It's good. Don't you like to do what's good? It is a good thing to give praises unto the Lord. So you wonder about the quality of what you've done all day long. Hey, why don't you do something good? Praise the Lord. It's a good thing to praise the Lord. My. 2 Corinthians 2:4. Our thanks to God determines our victories. The hastening of our victories. Thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory. So our thanksgiving accelerates our victories. Seem like your victory is dragging on, high sinner? Start praising and thanking God, and it will accelerate that. Hasten your victories and they will come quicker. Be thankful unto God. You see, sort of summarizing the things that I've said today, I'm just giving you some simple thoughts from my heart. God is good. Our praise blesses God. Now, anything that blesses God ought to be of interest to the believer. I mean, anything that rejoices the heart of God. We just all just thank Him. Praise blesses God. Praise blesses you. Not only blesses and rejoices the heart of God, praise blesses you. It blesses your health. It blesses your mental health. And I still remember when we had our daughter Janet at Mayo Clinic that they were encouraging the psychiatrists, the doctors, the whole staff there at Rochester was encouraging, checking out things like Laurel and Hardy, you know, just slapstick stuff. Just something to make you laugh a little bit. Because the theme at that point was happy people heal faster. Happy people heal faster. When you get all bummed out and you're mad and you're sad and you're just, you know, ticked at the world, it affects your mind, it affects your blood pressure, it affects your nervous system, it affects the digestion of your food, it affects every part of your body. A merry, now I'm still talking about, this is still the family of thanksgiving and being thankful, but a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. Medicine. Doesn't cost like medicine does. I think it was Joyce Meyer that said, you know, children laugh, I forget how many hundreds of times, and an adult may get off one or two chuckles a day, may. And you wonder why kids are so happy. I mean, they can be screaming and crying, tears pouring down. I mean, their world has come to an end. 5 minutes later, they're hand in hand going down the road with their little enemy. They forgot what they were unhappy about. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. It's time, regardless of what your feelings about all the politics, it's time to get happy. We have a lot to be thankful for. We have a lot to praise God for. Being thankful blesses the heart of God. Being thankful blesses you. But being thankful blesses others. I did something that upset somebody in a drive. I don't know if it's a bad drive or they just had a bad day, but I looked over through the window next. I'm not going to tell you what I saw. You know. Yeah, and I just rolled down the window and I said, praise the Lord. They burned off and, you know. You know, I feel sorry for people like that. You know, you got to be in a world of hurt to act like an idiot like that. You just, something's got to be terribly wrong. So I had me some signs, but somehow they got misplaced along the way. And so the next time, so I'm like, I just had one sign that said, "Praise the Lord." I just kept it beside the seat there, you know. "Rejoice." "Jesus loves you." That'd burn them every time, boy. "Jesus loves you." Oh, my. And then I'm looking for someone to do something naughty, you know. And then I might be kind of dangerous nowadays. But, you know, Thanksgiving prepares us for our eternal future. No matter what you think about life, you better get happy, because where you're heading, folks are happier than you've ever, you could never imagine. The angels are happy. God is happy. Jesus is happy. Holy Ghost is happy. All of those that are gone before are happy. Heaven's a happy place. It's a joyful place. Oh, it's the place to be. Only other place to be when you leave this earth, that's for sure. Giving thanksgiving prepares us for our eternal future. For in Revelation 11, 17, they were saying, "We give thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and wast and art to come, because thou wast taken to thee, thy great power, and hath reigned." Our God reigns. You know, it is only negative I would mention. You know, there is more anti-God hostility than I have seen in my lifetime. And you know, your heart goes out. Someone said, "Pity the atheist who has something to be thankful for, but no one to thank." You know, there's a lot of anti-God sentiment in the world today. But you know, hey, let me tell you something. 1 second, 5 seconds, whatever your timeline may be, after you leave this body, you'll know the truth about everything. You'll know the truth about hell. You'll know the truth about heaven. You'll know the truth about God. You'll know the truth about Jesus. But it's too late. No rerun. It's too late. That's why it's so important. That's why we give altar calls in every service, to give people the opportunity to accept Jesus as their personal Savior. What if no one comes? We've done our duty. What if one comes? Heaven rejoices. What if more than one comes? We cause a revival on the other side. You know? My. Thanksgiving prepares us for our eternal future. I remember one Thanksgiving, Arthur Locke, you remember, he had Thanksgiving with us. And so while the ladies are doing all the things they prepare for Thanksgiving, we went downtown. Some of you will remember the Piccadilly cafeteria there. Best place to eat breakfast on the face of the earth, but it's not there now. My. And as we were walking down the sidewalk, Arthur Locke, who had been a delivered alcoholic, a man who his mother's prayers pulled him through, an old man who went to the bottom through alcohol, led pink elephants down Capitol Avenue in Houston, Texas. We were going in for breakfast, and there was a man on, he'd scoot along on his knees and had a little pencil thing on his back. So you take a pencil and give him some kind of a donation. And he'd scoot along. And Arthur Locke had on a dark suit. I never will forget, long legs, tall man, leaned down beside him, looked up in his face, and he said, "Sir, do you know Jesus Christ is your personal Savior?" And that man with tears in his eyes, he said, "I've just been waiting for someone to ask me that question. No one asked me that question." He said, "Yes, sir, I do know Jesus is my personal Savior." And Arthur put his arm around him, put an offering in the cup, and they both had a hallelujah time there on the sidewalk. One of those moments I'll never forget. One of those moments I'll never forget. Do you know Jesus as your personal Savior? You know, Israel's cardinal sin, Israel, God's chosen people, their cardinal sin was that they forgot to be thankful. I mean, how could you ever forget all the plagues before they left Egypt? How could you ever forget those 16 to 18 hour work days when you had to make your own brick and you cried out to God, send us a deliverer. And God sets a bush on fire and God calls Moses from the backside of the desert. How could you ever forget the sea parting and all of Pharaoh's army and all of their war machine going down into a watery grave? How could you forget that? How could you forget the wilderness when there was nothing to eat and God brought the manna? How could you ever forget water coming out of a rock? How could you ever forget? But God would do whatever God would do. Their shoes never wore out. I know that's a nightmare for you ladies, but their shoes never wore out. They didn't have to go shopping for shoes. In fact, you didn't have to go shopping for anything. God supernaturally took care of their wardrobe. God supernaturally took care of their health. God supernaturally fed them and gave them water. And yet, it just kept on happening. Mouthy, mouthy, mouthy. Gripe, gripe, gripe. God, is that all you can do? Just manna. We're tired of manna. No Tabasco sauce out there, you know. Just manna. Another day of manna, another day of getting to eat, another day of having some water to drink, another day of my shoes not wearing out, another day of being delivered from the land of Egypt, another day of being a slave no longer. Yet they forgot it. They forgot it. They forgot it. And see, this man standing up because he's no longer a slave to alcohol and drugs. God set him free. Folks, it's time for us to remember God has set us free. God has worked a work of grace in our life. Thank God I know Jesus. Thank God I don't have to say GD about people. I can say praise the Lord. Thank God for a good wife. Thank God for my children. I thank God for my grandchildren. I thank God for our little guy, 1 year old, our great grandson. I thank God for a church that God has blessed me. Joy and I to be founders since 1964. Thank God for the church that we pastor. Thank God for you. Thank God for all the sweet cards you send us. Christmas, Thanksgiving, anniversary, birthday. Thank you for your kindness. Thank you for all that good soup that's been coming in. Oh, I'll tell you, it's been a blessing. I don't know who's doing all that, but it just shows up. And my, thank you for being so kind. God has been so gracious that while I'm here right now watching over the internet, one of our caregivers, precious caregivers, is taking care of our Janet, so Joy doesn't have to be home there. Folks, find something to be thankful for. Hang your hat on something to say thank you, Jesus. Oh, let's thank God. Let's thank God that things are as good as they are. You say, well, I'd like to see some changes around here. My list is longer than yours. Any given day, my list is longer than yours. But you know, I've just said, I thank God things are as good as they are. It's kind of strange. In traveling the other day, I got to talk to some people that some people think life is total Camelot in other places. But boy, when they got through with their story of woe, I said, thank God for the church that I pastor. I'm not even going to get into, you know, things look so perfect everywhere else. You know, somebody else's husband looks perfect. Someone else's wife looks perfect. Someone else's church, they got the answer to everything. But nothing's perfect. There's people wherever you go. Everywhere you go, there's some problem. Every corporation has its own unique set of problems. I mean, everywhere you go, there's something to contend with. If you're looking for the perfect job, you'd foil it if you found it. We just need to... I know maybe I sound like a broken record, but we just need to thank God that things are as good as they are. Thank God we've come this far by grace, leaning on the Lord, trusting in His holy word. He's never failed us yet. God is a good God. God is a faithful God. And when this journey's over, we go to be with Him. Oh, thank God for the hope of heaven. Let not your heart be troubled. I'll tell you, this last year, there's been several times and several ways my heart's been troubled. But thank God today I'm on top of that. Because I decided to read John 14 for myself. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not true, I would have told you. If I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there ye may be also. Folks, we have the best of both worlds. And the best is yet to come. I said, we have the best of both worlds. And the best is yet to come.